If I'm a Buck fan and I just heard that story, I'm cheering. I'm already got my fist up. I think we're in the beginning of a colossus. We got a standard around here. We have a standard. I'm just not happy. Throw him in a body bag.
Buccaneers fans, here we are. Day 7 of training camp is in the books. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the custodian of Canton, Uncle Ira, the king of Newport Richie. Ira, we are here today, not even a mile from Bill Curry Ford, which presents the podcast. We're in the shadow of Bill Curry Ford. That's how big Bill Curry Ford is, how impactful it is in the Tampa Bay area, not only serving the community in the many ways they do, Ira, but in their service that they provide to so many customers. You're wearing your Bill Curry Ford shirt. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper is here. We're at Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue. This is the famous spot, Ira, where Lee pounded the table, yelling about Devin White before the draft a couple of years ago. An iconic moment on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. But Ira, one place where you don't have to pound anything is at Bill Curry Ford, because they're just going to take care of you. Now Lee's pounding a beer. A beautiful, looks like a Big Storm beer, of course. Bill Curry Ford, though, Ira, just bottom line, Sean Sullivan ready to help everybody in person, just like he's done with you, or you can text him or call him, BillCurryFord.com.
You know, Steve, if we went over to Bill Curry Ford right now on a Sunday afternoon, I'd lay even money, number one, that Sean Sullivan's in the office, and two, he might be pouring over flyers for this week's specials at Bill Curry Ford. He's that hands-on, Lee.
Well, I think you're right, because he returned from vacation, so he's probably catching up.
Well, check out the inventory at BillCurryFord.com. Don't forget the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. That's not a typo. I got it on my used vehicle that I got at Bill Curry Ford, and very exciting stuff. BillCurryFord.com. All right, Ira, we were all at training camp today, buzzing around. I've got a lot of nuggets. Sage, your impressions, what you're seeing, what you're hearing. Mostly people love you, Ira, because you read between the lines, you hear between the lines. What should we know?
Well, Lee, my first impression on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, I think it was an 8.5 or a 9. I don't think the ball was on the ground very much today. Arians thought that the energy and enthusiasm was off the charts. And, Lee, we've said it before on this podcast. I'm going to stick with it. Arians does not want to give out plaudits in this particular training camp.
That's a good point.
He does not. So for him to say that in terms of hustle, enthusiasm, and energy, now he also says that guys are lining up in the wrong spots. They got to get a little smarter.
Mentally, yeah.
Again, I think that's Arians' way to say, hold on, gentlemen, you ain't there yet. But I thought it was a very spirited practice. Lee, one thing I think we need to mention, the crowd was outstanding. Not only in number, big overflow crowd. I mean big. But I thought they were very passionate, vocal. It seemed like an old type Buck crowd. Now, having said that, Lee, when you go out there tomorrow, it's not going to be like that.
I agree with you. There'll probably be a couple hundred people there. Saturday, the crowd was very noisy. I actually had a couple of security guys telling me today, oh, the crowd's kind of quiet. So, for perspective, you were saying they were good. I think they were. I agree with you. But, yes, Saturday, they were crazy. I got to say this. We're here at Hooters, our friends at Hooters, and our waitress, she looks strikingly like Miss USA. Asia, something or other?
I didn't notice, Lee. I didn't notice.
But the reason why I'm bringing this up is, and this will warm your heart, her name's Asia something. She goes to Ole Miss, and she's Miss USA. Gorgeous woman, as you can imagine. It warms my heart that the Bucks made this woman cry in February. She's a Pat Mahomes fan.
Oh.
Had to make her cry. Oh. So it warms my heart to know that the Bucks made Miss USA cry.
You know, I think Pat Mahomes, Steve, in all seriousness, I think he's still dreaming about Shaq Barrett. I think he's still haunted by JPP and White. It's going to take a long time for the Chiefs to get over that loss.
Well, Ira, when Lee mentioned Miss USA, I knew you were instantly thinking about Miss Newport Richie from your when you judged that contest back in 2019. They were throwing themselves all over you, Ira.
She named all 50 state capitals that day, Stephen.
Ira, Burlington.
Let me tell a little story, Ira. So you talked about Arians very happy with the effort. not too happy with the mental mistakes, but then he very quickly said, well, it's not really on defense, the mental mistakes. Very, very small accountability sheet, all on the offense. And there was a telling moment today, Ira, I was watching, and Tyler Johnson makes an incredible over-the-shoulder, one-handed catch in the end zone, like the kind that it would be all over SportsCenter if it was in a game. And then he comes back, makes a little catch in red zone work, and then he's on there with on the field with Kyle Trask, and he goes in motion to the left and stops, you know, and lines up, and Trask starts waving him back. No, 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 go to the right. Johnson runs back to the right, kind of stops like, where the hell am I supposed to go? He looks behind him toward the coaches, and Byron Leftwich was already like five steps toward him. They sort of had to stop the play, and Leftwich told them where to go. They ran the play. I looked back at the rest of the coaches, and they were just shaking their head. We heard yesterday, shockingly, that Tyler Johnson came in out of shape. Now, I'm not going to knock the guy for eating too many wings and tater tots at Hooters, Ira. Otherwise, I'd have to be slapping you around. But how does a guy come in to a Super Bowl champion after he's been here a year out of shape to the point where the coach is saying it's his fault, he messed up, and today he had a up-and-down day mentally? I don't want to read into and fish for red flags, but geez.
And you're number five on the depth chart. Number five. And they drafted a rookie that's trying to take your job. A little disconcerting, Lee, that Arians thinks that Tyler Johnson's out of shape, because Lee, Tyler Johnson showed a little something last year in limited opportunities. And he made one of the biggest plays of the Buck postseason.
New Orleans.
Let's be honest.
In the playoffs.
Yeah. That was a heck of a catch.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, what Steve was talking about, the Tyler Johnson's inconsistency thus far in training camp, that sort of mirrors his rookie season. He would make a spectacular catch, then he'd drop one right in his breadbasket. So for every outstanding play he made several. He also missed a lot of gimmies. So this sounds like it might just be Tyler Johnson, as in this is who he is. I don't know yet. It's still early, but it's starting to smell like that. A guy that will make a play that you'll be all over SportsCenter, and then he'll make two plays like, come on, man.
Now, they're not banking on a lot of contributions from Tyler Johnson in 2021, barring an injury.
Sure.
Barring an injury. But, Steve, in terms of his development as a Buccaneer, this is a step back. It's a step back for Johnson. That Arians, whether it's true or not, but Arians has the perception that he reported out of shape. And that leaves a bad taste with the coaching staff.
Yeah, and that's a key point. You made the key sage point, Ira, because these players, all of them, are supposed to make a leap from year one to year two. And year two, you know what to expect. You know the deal. And you come in out of shape, which is the point you're getting called out. That's rough. That's rough. Hopefully there's nothing going on outside of the game, because we know from experience sometimes when guys are out of shape, their head is somewhere else or they got some other problem. But it's worth noting. And today was the ultimate up and down day for Tyler Johnson.
Sticking on the receiver theme, Lee and I are in agreement, which we're not often in agreement. Steve, you weigh in and give me your opinion. But I think Lee and I both kind of think that a week into the resurgence of the 2021 Buccaneers, we think Mike Evans has been the outstanding player.
Yeah,
I'm sticking with that, Steve. I think he's had a tremendous camp.
I mean, look, he's supposed to. And he did early in practice today. I think you were standing with me, Ira. I'm not sure. But Mike Evans went down with a cramp about 10 minutes into warm-ups, which was very odd and just speaks to the drain of this training camp. But he went through the whole practice, and that's okay. But, yeah, he looks great. And really, the offense looks good. We're nitpicking, but it's not the way they want it to be.
This could be. It could be one of the easy top 10 offense in NFL history. That's maybe top five might be pushing it.
That's strong stuff,
Lee. But I think they've got the talent to do that. And they've got the mentality of a coach who wants to do that. You know, I was talking about Mike Evans. I do absolutely agree with him. I think Mike Evans, above everyone else, is sticking out in a good way. If I had to pick a number two guy, probably Devin White. He's making a lot of splash plays.
You know, Steve, if Devin White takes another step up, I mean another step up, we're talking about one hell of a football player. And I think he will.
If this guy carries on like he, you know, or continues like he played in the playoffs, we're talking Ray Lewis.
If he takes another step in the mental game, in terms of keys and reading what they're going to do and being in a better position. There are no questions about his physical traits. There are none. Steve, his closing speed's extraordinary. You've seen it a million times. He looks like a heat-seeking missile out there.
There was a nondescript play. It was near where media were allowed to be on the baseline of the end zone, the back line. Mike Evans goes in motion, right to left on offense, which would be left to right on defense. Devin White trailed him. When Devin White got to about where the left guard or left tackle would be, he starts yelling, "Back, back, 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 back." At the time, Jamal Dean was tight to the line of scrimmage. Not sure who he was covering, but he was tight. As soon as White started yelling back, immediately Jamal Dean went into a back pedal to reposition, and Evans came around to the left. He was sandwiched between Jamal Dean deep, Devin White short. I thought that was way cool how that was all choreographed like that.
And it's too bad, because if you could have seen it, there would have been a big smile on Todd Bowles' face.
Yeah, because they did it right. You hear the coaches at practice talk, 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 and I just thought that was so cool the way that it played out.
It's like me and his bits on the doubles court. Got to talk, baby.
Sage, I was talking to a heavy hitter at practice today, one of the power brokers at $1.
And she was at Buck practice?
No.
And I asked him, hey, who's having an outstanding camp? You know, who should we be looking at? And I'll be honest, he mentioned one guy whose name I didn't recognize, a bottom-of-the-roster guy, so I don't know what position that guy plays. A bottom-of-the-roster guy, I didn't look it up yet. But the other five players mentioned, Ira, were all on defense. One of them was White. One of them was Joe Tryon. One of them was Sean Murphy Bunting.
Carlton Davis,
and Khalil Davis, the sixth-round pick from last year, who flashed a little bit last season. Should have had a forced fumble that was sort of stolen from him in one of the games. And nobody on offense. Now, you've hinted at the defense looks ahead of the offense.
Yeah.
Well, in the minds of someone who's watching in a different kind of way, the players who are over and above their performance, expected performance, that doesn't mean Mike Evans is having a bad camp because he's not looking better than Mike Evans. But, you know, it's the defensive players, those guys who are really shining, apparently.
Absolutely. And, Lee, you know, we were there for Coach Arians today, and he surprised me, and Buck Nation is going to love this line.
I think I know where you're going.
And I'm
going
to give it to him. And I was shocked because I didn't think this guy was there yet in this regard. Lee, didn't Bruce Arians do more than suggest? Didn't he say Joe Tryon's got a lot of moves?
Yeah.
He's got all kinds of moves. And, Steve, I've been on this podcast five different times saying, you know, my concern with Tryon is coming out of college, you got to develop a bunch of moves. And the Bucks have had a lot of guys, even first-round picks, Steve, at defensive end, and they had one power move. And when you get to the NFL, it's not going to work, Lee.
No.
The tackles are too good. And to hear Coach Arians say, and I think he said maybe needs a little more power, well, you can work on power. You hit the work room.
Yeah,
but he said Tryon's got a sort of a bewildering array of moves. That's great. That's great news for Buck fans.
Tryon's quick. Now, I didn't see him at all today. I wasn't looking for him. Unfortunately, when I have my binoculars, I'm following the ball. And so a lot of times I don't get to see a defensive end because he's out of my field of vision. For example, I didn't see Brady. We could talk about that later with the quick kick, cough, cough, because I was following the ball. I didn't see what Brady did. Or excuse me, when he threw his helmet down. When Arians said about Joe Tryon, exact quote, he's whipping Tristan Wirfs and Donnie, meaning Donovan Smith. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Whoa.
He's being...
Nobody whipped Tristan Wirfs in 2020.
Thank you. And I wasn't sure the question, it was Jenna asking the question, I wasn't sure he was talking about Joe Tryon because of that. I'm like, is he talking about JPP? Is he talking about Shaq? And I actually went to Steve. I said, I got to talk to Jenna later to find out. And then Steve, no, she was asking about Tryon. And I'm like, you know, I want to do one of those Looney Tunes things. Like, ay, 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 ay. Like, what did he say? He was whipping Tristan Wirfs? This ought to get Bucks fans salivating.
Steve, let's not get too ahead of ourselves on Joe
Tryon. Why not, Ira? Come on.
Let's have some fun.
Why not?
Because I'm the guy that said don't expect much from Joe Tryon.
Yeah,
and now I'm hearing everything to the contrary.
You said
my friend,
don't expect too much. Lee was saying
late in the season.
Thanksgiving, let's look for Joe Tryon.
And you said, why not game one, Ira?
I said, Ira, you don't draft special teamers or guy. You draft a guy to hopefully get in there and mix it up immediately. Sean Sullivan's out there somewhere banging a table saying, I told you, Joe Tryon, I told you.
I guess, Lee, a big part of what I was saying was, of course, he didn't play his last year at college. And I think that's got to hurt him.
I agree. There's going to be, you would think there's going to be some rust. I agree. I absolutely agree. Now, here's one for you, since I mentioned Tristan Wirfs. Brian Baldinger, NFL Network, was out there today. Obviously, NFL Network was broadcasting there yesterday.
He certainly knows the trenches.
Yes. Yeah. And Steve has more insight from Baldinger. I briefly talked to him. Steve actually spoke with him for a few minutes. I asked him, what do you think of Tristan Wirfs? First thing he said was, I love him. And then the next thing he said was, he's the best.
And he didn't even qualify it.
Nope, he's the best.
That's the way people talk about you, Ira. He's the best.
We got a rookie who's yet to play his first NFL game. Today was only his second day in pads since December 2019.
And he's whipping
Tristan Wirfs? Holy smoke.
Nobody says compared to Rick Stroud or compared to Roy Cummings. They just call you the best. And do you want to tell the fans that you got in trouble today at $1?
No, I don't think I want to get into that, Steve. But I was called out.
I'll edit it if you want me to, but are we allowed to say that you've learned? We don't have to give a name.
I learned the protocols.
You learned that you're related to a Buccaneers player. Can we say that?
My sister-in-law's side of the family has some relation to Josh Wells. I tried to say something to Josh Wells today, and I thought World War III was going to break out.
Well, I'll add to that story with one of my own. Last year, with the throes of the pandemic, and at the time at training camp, we were only allowed to stand at one spot. We couldn't move. NFL protocols. And wherever I was standing at the time was very near where the offensive line was working out. Ali Marpet sees me. He goes, hey, Lee, how you doing? Well, we're not allowed to talk to players. And I didn't want to be an a-hole and act like I didn't hear it and ignore him. So I'm like, hey, Ali, what do you say? And as soon as I said that, I began looking around for Bucks people waiting to get thrown out, honest to God.
Oh, boy.
And it didn't happen. But I told that to the media relations director a few months later, and he laughed. He goes, I'm not that hard of an ass.
I'll own this one, Stevie. I broke protocol.
That's fine, Ira. Yeah, I talked to Baldinger for a while, sat next to him, just said, hey, what's your take of the trenches of the Bucks? You're the expert in the trenches. I want to know what you hear. Because I saw him watching all the drills and everything. And
he's a keen observer. He is.
Yes. Yeah, and there are some guys, national guys, like Peter King, they come, they just want to talk and eat muffins and bullshit.
And get their one-on-one.
Oatmeal. Let's get it right.
And BS and stuff. Baldinger is sitting there with a pen and paper, and he's on one knee, and he's watching, and he's looking. And, he's a former offensive lineman, for those who don't know him. Played in, the 80s, I believe. And is on NFL Network. Anyway, I asked him about the trenches, and he said, "Hey, all the starters look great." Blah blah blah. He went right to Robert Hainsey, Ira, and said, "Man, doesn't look good. The guy's lower body looks incredibly weak. He's not low enough in the drills, and the Notre Dame guys are very well coached, so it's a little surprising. But it also lets you feel like they're going to develop very well because they always seem to." But he's like, just on looks and from one day of drills, he's like, man, that guy does not look like a third-round pick. So just for what it's worth.
They got a good coaching staff, Lee. And the O-line guys, Gilbert and Goodwin, they work very well together. And, Lee, you look no further. 2 years ago, the O-line was a weak spot. They couldn't run. They couldn't protect. And now everything's changed. Of course, it's easier to, in some ways, easier to protect Brady because, as Ryan Jensen told me last week, we know exactly where Tom Brady's going to plant that foot and throw, and that helps.
Well, yeah, exactly. That does help.
But the running game is much, the running lanes are far more consistent than they were in 2018. You got to give them that. I mean, they did a good job. They had Stinney ready to step in at right guard.
Yeah.
They did. They worked with Wirfs. Wirfs in last training camp, he wasn't a polished product. When the
heck no.
When the season came around, The guy's an all-pro. He got my vote. You know, I voted for two tackles, and he was one of them. And he got 10 votes. That's a big number.
Just a fun little nugget real quick. I was watching the O-line, the one-on-one drills with the defensive line. And so Gilbert starts screaming at this guy, Hutchinson, who's trying to make the team. Ali Marpet mentioned him the other day. He's called him a great player as a guy trying to make the roster. So he's at left guard. And just before the snap and this one-on-one kind of setup, Joe Gilbert screams at this guy and says, "Don't effing give up the inside." And up steps Joe Tryon, beats him inside. And I wondered if – I looked at it, I was like, man, I wonder if Tryon went inside just to sort of
– That's the bane of a quarterback's existence, the inside pass rush.
And then on the next –
We always said that with Drew Brees, right? Mm-hmm. So always said that.
They scream at him, you know, they're in his face. The next time he's up against Shaq, poor guy. You know, it looked like Shaq beat him, but they were praising the young guy. Not bad, not bad, because there was a little delay, you know, it wasn't too bad, but – yeah, a lot of intensity out there with these guys trying to make the roster, of course. But we always have intensity when we talk about mold on this show, Ira. Mold is important. It's vital because you got to know if it's happening in your house at all times. You got to address it. Dan Lucas from WFLA was just telling me a mold story. Literally, I didn't even bring up mold. And we know that if you have mold, wherever it is.
Was it in the studio? Was it in the FLA studio?
I'm not going to start talking about Dan Lucas's life here. But bottom line is Florida's Elite Restoration is who you call if you have a mold problem or any disaster in your home. They're going to just go out to your place, or even if it's your workplace and you got mold in your office or something, they're going to give you a free estimate, an assessment, more than an estimate of what's going on. So you know how to proceed, how to deal with your insurance company. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. I know that website is on your refrigerator, Ira. Big, bold letters next to Joey's Pizza.
I'll say it very simply, Lee. Unchecked mold can lead to disaster.
Yeah.
No question about it. Most of the time, it's probably not a big deal. But you have to have that peace of mind. And you got to call Florida's Elite Restoration. Because they're going to give you an honest assessment.
And I've had somebody who had an issue with mold, Ira. They waited too long to report it. And then they were kind of honest. And their insurance company was like, well, you waited on this thing for 5 months. We're not supposed to cover that. You knew about it. He was too honest with the insurance company. Whatever. Florida's Elite Restoration, fire, storm damage, whatever it is. Call them up immediately and you'll be in great shape. Sage, we got to bring up what Lee touched on before. Tom Brady at this practice. 11-on-11 session. I had chronicled the whole thing. And so Brady has this 11-on-11, and he's leading the troops. It was right after they had their little halftime break, you know, where they run into the air conditioning. They start by throwing the ball to Tyler Johnson, which I think was calculated. Like, all right, let's see if this kid's got his head out of his ass. Let's throw the first play with the first team to Tyler Johnson. Thankfully, he caught it. And then Brady throws a little out to Rob Gronkowski, first down, and then three and out from there. And Brady proceeds to punt the football to the second field in frustration. And the whole team just like, look, whoa, did Tom Brady just punt a football to the next field? And okay, I was sitting with Baldinger at the time, so he's like, oh yeah, I could tell they got another team period. Brady's going to come back fired up. And he was looking forward to it. He's like, oh, this should be good. This should be good. So eventually they get back to Brady's turn again. And Scotty Miller, he seems to screw up his route on the first, or he slipped, or both seemed on first down, incomplete. Then Vita Vea blows through, gets a sack. And then Brady overthrows Scotty Miller on the deep ball. And Brady takes two hands, rips his helmet off his head, and slams it to the turf, literally with obviously 100% force. And it bounds away like a wild ground ball, and he marches off. And I asked Rojo about it. He smiled and said, that's why Tom Brady's great.
I think Rojo's absolutely right. If I'm a Buck fan and I just heard that story from Steve Isbitz, I'm cheering. I'm already got my fist up. Guys, it's 1 week into training camp. The season opener is 5 weeks away, and Brady's in full game mode. You got to love that, Lee. Why is Tom Brady? That's part of the reason. Part of the reason. He throws a beautiful ball. Oh. No question about it. But the passion, undiminished, after 20, 21 years of NFL football.
Unbridled.
Unbridled. I love it, Lee, that he could get so pissed off about a practice session. He's more pissed off than Leftwich and Arians combined.
Yeah.
And Christensen. I love it. I say keep it up, Tom.
Because all those other players, and Rojo spoke about this a little bit today, all of his teammates see that and are like, whoa, Mr. Seven Rings is peed?
We got a standard yes. around here. We have a standard.
Yes. And don't tell me that does not motivate his teammates when they see Brady doing that. That gets their attention.
Like when, you know, Isbit sends me a nasty text about one of my stories. You know, Kaufman, you're way off base. It gets me motivated.
Well,
I got to come back strong.
I've got something that our listeners can relate to. While we were speaking, Miss USA came and asked me if I wanted another beer. She's got me rattled. I wanted another beer, but I got to drive.
I didn't notice that one either, roughly.
Oh, you noticed. You're not that old, Ira.
Steve, hold on. I want to interject.
You want a big you want a big storm beer? Is that what's going on?
No.
The official beer of your podcast?
If they had one here, I think I might have got one. But it's coming, Lee. It's coming. And that, by the way, that leads me to another point. On the topic of big storm, I think we're just in the beginning. I think we're in the beginning of a colossus. I do. I think they're going to take over the market if they haven't already.
Look out, Budweiser.
The craft beer market. And I think Isbitz has alluded to that. There's no stopping big storm. They're big, they're ambitious, and they're great at what they do. And they're only going to get bigger and better. Now, guys, I know you're going to slap me around for this, but I do have to say it because I don't think I've said it during the entire offseason. I'm just not happy with the backup quarterback situation. Here we go again.
No, I'm not going to slap you around.
And before Lee can say, Ira, if Brady goes down, no matter who you got at number two, the season's going to be over, and you might as well put him in a casket and throw him in a body bag. And, Lee, I understand that point. It's a fair point, but what if it's a 3 or 4 week injury and I want to go 2-2 and I don't want to go 0-4? That's what I'm saying.
Here's what I'll say. You're not wrong. Gabbert on Saturday was dreadful. That's all there is to it. He was dreadful. He wasn't good today. He was bad today. He was dreadful on Saturday. But you got to remember, Bruce Arians loves this guy.
And he knows the playbook.
He knows the playbook, knows the offense, knows the coaches. So, you know, we can sit here and kvetch about Gabbert. He ain't going anywhere.
Ira, it is important because the Saints only won the division the last 2 years because they had a quality backup quarterback. So the evidence is there. Otherwise, they wouldn't have won. But, of course, the Bucs won the Super Bowl without a backup quarterback last year, so there's that. Only one other Buccaneers player did I talk about with Brian Baldinger, and I didn't bring him up, but his name was Blaine Gabbert, Ira, and I'll say that Baldinger was in your camp with that, and I think a lot of people are around the league. It's important to remember that Gabbert was a free agent for a month, and nobody signed him, and he came back, so there's that. Got to ask you this, though, about Kyle Trask, Ira, because this was turned into big news yesterday. I saved it. I was very confident that nobody else was going to find it, Ira. But Clyde Christensen did an interview on a sort of an obscure CBS radio show. And, you know, as typical Clyde Christensen, he let it all hang out. And he was talking about how with Kyle Trask, I'll say, quote, Ira, it'll take some creativity and some effort on everybody's part to develop him, you know, where he doesn't go into red shirt mode and coast mode, knowing that, hey, maybe my number's not coming up this year. And he talked about some of the challenges in developing Kyle Trask on this team. And I'm hearing that less than a week into training camp. I'm like, it tells me, damn, this guy isn't he's not as a hot steal that he could have been if they're talking of him about him in ways that, hey, we got to make time for him and, you know, we got to make sure he doesn't think he's just in a redshirt season. It seemed a little bit odd, a little bit off, just because he clearly wasn't wowed by Trask to the point where they were thinking, hey, you know, maybe this guy could be the number two by the end of the season.
He's going to need a lot of work, Lee. The other day, Lee, when we went inside, we were sitting in the end zone, and they were coming right towards us. I had a really good view. And the pads weren't on, to be fair. But, Lee, to that exact point, when the pads aren't on, the quarterback should be slicing up a defense.
Yeah, it's flag football.
And
yeah.
it was clear to me, Lee. Now, again, the kid's first training camp, and Griffin's been here a long time. Griffin looked much better than Trask. He just did. He looked a lot better. And I dare say Gabbert looked better, as he should. And that's hard for me to say. But Trask's going to need a lot of work. That doesn't mean he's a bust. Doesn't mean he's not going to make it. Hell, Lee, Mike Glennon's going to have a 10, 12-year career in this league. We know that.
Who's he playing for now?
Giants.
Really?
And he's going to be with 8 to 9 different teams. So I'm not going to say Trask isn't going to make it as an NFL player. But, Lee, he's got a long way to go.
I'll have 2 or 3 things to say about Trask. Then I'm going to scold both of you guys. I'm not worried about Trask. He's a project at best. At best, he's a number 3 quarterback. We all better pray we never see him this year. So I'm not going to sweat over Trask, who I think the team admitted was a project when they drafted him.
You're right.
He does seem to throw better deep than he does anything else. And I know in underwear football, back this spring, I mentioned Griffin looked better. I got killed for writing that. You know, Trask's fans are very sensitive. But I got to give Gabbert credit when credit is due. Today is the very first practice I've seen. Now, I'm not suggesting he didn't do this, but this is the first practice all year I saw where Gabbert didn't put the ball on the ground. Bobbles, every practice he was bobbling snaps, except for today. So good for him. Now it's time to scold you guys. What the F are we talking about backup quarterbacks for?
Because we got nothing else to knock this team about. That's why. I think it's an indication of the quality of this roster that I felt I needed to make a point about the backup quarterback. And, I mean, come on. You think the Chiefs are thrilled with their backup quarterback and the Ravens and the Packers. I mean, that's the way it is.
Well, yeah, ironically, it is Glennon with the Giants. He is their number 2. And given the quarterback situation up there, who knows if we're going to see Glennon.
And Fitzpatrick's a starting quarterback, right?
Fitzpatrick's a starter.
God help the Redskins fans.
And Ron Rivera is considered a genius of a head coach. It cracks me up over and over again, Ira, that Ron Rivera could have signed Jameis and said, come be our starter, but he went with Ryan Fitzpatrick. It still cracks me up to this day. Sage, Trask has a lot of fans in the crowd. And I wrote 2 kind of funny nuggets down, Ira, because Trask isn't looking that great, and that's okay.
That's okay.
It's absolutely okay. But on successive plays in practice today, right before the halftime, you know, the third unit goes last, fourth unit, whatever. First, after a certain play where somebody pulled up on a blitz, Trask would have been blitzed, and it looked like he should have gotten rid of the ball, screaming from the crowd, that's okay, Kyle. They're like 2 different people yelled, that's okay, Kyle. Then the next play didn't look too good. We still love you, Kyle, coming from the crowd. And then after that one, Christensen was screaming at him in his face, and then they jogged into the Glazer shed. So, yeah, it's just growing pains for the guy.
I like the encouragement, Lee. There's nothing wrong with it from the crowd. There's so many Gator fans in the Tampa Bay area. Yeah. You know, if Kyle Trask was from Tennessee, he wouldn't be getting that kind of treatment from the crowd.
Oh, no.
Like you guys have been saying, let's not get too upset about how much development Kyle Trask needs. He's a rookie quarterback. He wasn't a first-round pick. They're not counting on him in 2021. Let's keep some perspective.
I give this team the benefit of the doubt. After what they've done the last couple of years of building this roster, I guess you could say last 5 years, Jason Light and Bruce Arians get, and in my eyes, they get the benefit of the doubt. They think he can be a quarterback. Okay, who am I to argue? That's number 1. Number 2, when Bruce Arians said he could be Brad Johnson, and people grumbled, hey, you got short memories. Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl for this team.
Lasted a long time in the NFL.
Yeah, he did. He won a Super Bowl for this team. Half the Super Bowls the Bucs have won came with Brad Johnson.
Got a winning record as a starting quarterback in the NFL, Brad Johnson.
He was always a winner, always in the playoffs, always had his teams in the playoffs.
Sage, Ronald Jones said today, made a point of emphasis, friendly competition at running back. Everybody is supporting each other, friendly competition. But everybody knows what's at stake. We know the status of 3 unrestricted free agents going into next season there with Bernard. And do you believe it? You think these guys are friendly, supporting each other, or it's got a little edge to it? What do you think?
When Ronald Jones is alone with his family and friends in a relaxed atmosphere where he knows his words are not going to go any further than the room that he's in, I think he's got to be a little pissed off. I think I would be if I was Ronald Jones. He knows what Fournette did in the postseason. Nobody's going to argue with that. The only reason he got a chance was because Jones had some health issues down the stretch, and Fournette made the most of it, and give Fournette credit. But Lee, Ronald Jones had a hell of a regular season.
Yeah, nice season. He should have had 1,000 yards.
And I believe 2 out of the 3 postseason games that Ronald Jones played in, he averaged over 4.5 yards a carry in 2 out of those 3 games. He didn't fall apart in the postseason. And if I'm Ronald Jones, I'm thinking, I think I should go into camp as number one. It's my job to lose, but apparently it's not.
Well, and I've said this before on the podcast, maybe this is why Playoff Lenny's getting a... Well, I can't say that Playoff Lenny's getting a lean as number one running back. I truly believe it's even. I truly believe that Arians basically told those guys, you tell me who should get most of the carries. And I like that. You know, that's competition. You tell me. If you're playing better, you're going to get the ball. The reason why I would lean with Playoff Lenny, I've said this before, that the 98-yard run was awesome by Ronald. That was the only run he's ever had over 10 yards, a touchdown score. Only time. 40 yards in, Playoff Lenny is a threat to score. It's all about points. It's all about touchdowns. That's why I would lean Playoff Lenny. I'm not saying he's better than Rojo, but that ability, that threat to score inside the 40, which Rojo has yet to demonstrate. If I remember right, Playoff Lenny has 6 touchdowns as a Bucs running back, which is only 1 year, 6 touchdowns, 10 yards or longer. Rojo in 3 years, uno. I like points. I like touchdowns.
And, Steve, I think it's important that we get it out there that this is not Derrick Henry, where this guy's going to get 25 carries and the next guy's going to get 3. It's not going to be like that, Steve. Whoever wins might get 15, and the other guy's going to get 10.
I think that's good.
It's not Derrick Henry.
I'm thinking that's good.
It might be that way, Ira. We don't know. I mean, if somebody's hot and is carrying the mail well, and Bernard is the third down guy, let's say he is. Let's say Bernard wins the third down job because he catches better. Last year, I looked it up. There were 80 catches by Buccaneers running backs last year. 80. Suppose Bernard wins the job and is going to catch 60 balls this year. Well, then it's a battle from first and second down, and if one of them's better, we could see one of those guys on the bench. So I got to disagree with you.
We'll see what happens, and I'll say it again, Lee. Arians likes Vaughn. He likes Vaughn.
Yeah,
he mentions him a lot.
He mentions him a lot, but he also mentions he's a special teams guy too. So
that tells me he's limited.
Right now, and that could change next year. But right now, I'm not worried about next year.
All right, Sage. Let me mention this. Let me mention that when I get home, I will be drinking a Sunny Key Lime from Big Storm Beer. It's officially taken over as my favorite, ahead of Bromosa, Sunny Key Lime.
Ahead of Bay Beer.
Ahead of Bay Beer, ahead of Tropic Pressure Golden Ale. Although I'd almost say it's a tie between the Sunny Key Lime and the Bromosa, but Sunny Key Lime is 4% alcohol, like 4.2.
I got to try the Sunny Key Lime, Lee.
And the Bromosa is like 7.4, so... I could enjoy an extra one, which I kind of like, instead of, you know, getting knocked out by a couple of Bromosas. So BigStormBrewery.com, BigStormBrewery.com. When you go there, you can just put in your zip code, wherever you are in the Bay Area listening to us, and find out where to buy Big Storm beer. Lee's mentioned it's at Hooters. Check your local Hooters, though.
And we're going to be there week 3 of the regular season, starting
week 3.
Yeah,
road games in Clearwater. Sage will be out there. Plenty of great food. And, of course, our thanks to Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com. If you're going to shop for a vehicle and start somewhere else, you're doing yourself a disservice. BillCurryFord.com.
This comes from Warren Sharp's 2021 football preview.
You love that book, Lee. You love that book.
That and Football Outsiders. This is really interesting insight. Really interesting insight. And Warren Sharp's a stat nerd, a handicapper.
Which is the one that has Tom...
Bassinger?
Yeah, Bassinger.
That's Football Outsiders.
Okay.
Sharp thinks the Bucs could be virtually unstoppable if they passed more on first down. Drives them nuts if they run on first down all the time. He thinks the Bucs lucked out in the playoffs by doing that. They played right into the hands of the Redskins and the Saints. And I don't think he's completely off his rocker with that, because the Saints game, that turn on, you know, they're, Saints are about ready to go up 10 points in the third quarter, and it turned on Antoine Winfield's forced fumble. So I think Warren Sharp is not off base in that. And obviously Washington, that was way too close. Way too close of a game. But hey, they won the Super Bowl. What am I bitching about? However, Warren Sharp said against top 15 rush defenses, Bucks are 1-4 last year. This year, if I remember right, I'm just going off memory, if I remember right, 10 of the Bucks' opponents were a top 15 rush defense last year. So he's saying Leftwich better start learning to throw on first down a whole lot more. Your thoughts?
I would like to see the numbers for first down rushes versus passes. You haven't given me the percentage.
That I don't know, but he runs a lot on first down, and it drives Sharp crazy.
In the bigger picture, Steve, and I think you'll back me up on this, the Bucs were among the teams with the fewest rushing attempts in the league overall last year. They were, say, bottom five, I would think, or bottom 10. So, Lee, to your point, you're very specific. If you stick to the specifics about first down, you might have a solid point there. If you're talking that the Bucs run too much in general, that's not true.
Yeah, he's not talking
that's
in general.
That's not true.
He's talking first
I
down
I think
only.
They ran the ball about 35% of the time.
Yeah, he's talking first down specifically.
Now, look, Lee, at the same time, if I got Brady and I got this kind of receiving core, I'm not sure that it's a mistake to pass 65% of the time.
And that's what
he's
saying.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that.
All right, Ira, I'm curious. I'm going to look up one of those numbers here. I don't think it was bottom five as far as total amount of attempts. But, you know, they certainly weren't I would say
they had top five in terms of passing attempts.
Bucks were a sage. Sage wins again. They were 29th in the NFL in total rush attempts. Ira's wisdom and knowledge. No, he doesn't need Prevagen. He has got his mind as sharp.
But Lee was talking about first down.
I know. Yeah. It's a separate nuance there. That's important, especially to what you were just discussing. Ira, I got one last thing I got to run by. I really want to see your face when I say this, so I'm glad we're in person so I can actually look at your mug.
Oh, hold on. I'm looking at Miss USA over here.
First, you don't notice anything now all of a sudden.
Well,
things have changed deeper into the podcast.
The honesty level goes up as the podcast goes up.
All right. Well, as long as you're taking a 20-second break, Ira, I'll also remind everybody, Florida's EliteRestoration.com. That's the website you need and the company you need. When there's a disaster in your home, call them 24/7. You'll get response, and you'll get that free assessment that you need in your time of need. Sage, Sean King, former Bucks quarterback.
Sean King, that's his first appearance on this podcast in a long time.
Sean King, you know, many years in the league, many years in the media, years coaching at USF. And Sean King was adamant. He was a big Bucks fan, lifetime Bucks fan from St. Pete. He was asked about what does he think about Jameis Winston's prospects in New Orleans, and he was sort of asked about winning the job. King said he will be in the MVP conversation this year. His primary reasoning was Sean Payton knows nobody's better at figuring out what makes a guy work and how to get the most out of somebody. That's Sean Payton. Number two, he said Jameis will be indoors, which he thinks it will help Jameis's game a lot. I don't know why, but he thinks Jameis indoors will be a big plus. And he sees MVP conversation for Winston, which of course means if you're in the MVP conversation, your team's probably winning 12 or 13 games. What do you think of all of that?
It's not the first time one of Sean King's pronouncements has made me cringe. It's not the first time. Won't be the last. First thing I'm going to do, Nick, first time, I think I'm going to make an appointment, maybe have lunch with Sean King. And before I do, I'm going to make a printout of the receiving core of the New Orleans Saints, especially with Michael Thomas on the pup list.
That's a fair point.
And show him who the hell's he throwing to, Sean, number one. Number two, Lee, with all due respect to Sean Payton,
who's a very good coach, very good. If he wins another Super Bowl, which I don't see happening in the near future.
I agree.
But if he did, he might be Hall of Fame material. I mean, he might be.
Yeah.
Does he know a lot more about quarterback play than Bruce Arians? I mean, a lot more?
That's a good point.
Maybe. I think Peyton would be silly to go with Taysom Hill. I would go with Jameis. You would go with Jameis because the upside's a lot better.
Taysom Hill, I just don't get that at all.
You want to use Taysom Hill seven snaps a game, go right ahead. I don't think Winston's going to have a terrible season, but I'm not convinced that he's going to be on the plus side of touchdowns versus interceptions, and that's always a big factor in MVP consideration. I don't think the Saints are going to have a great season, Lee. I think the Bucs win the division after the Saints have owned this division. Let's be honest. I think Sean is leading with his heart, and so do you.
Well, you know, one thing
I've never knocked his work ethic. Never.
Oh, yeah, well, even Arians has said that. Maybe it's just me, but there's only, what, 8 people that ever walked the face of the earth that threw for 5,000 yards, and Jameis is one of them, and people act like that never happened. That blows my mind. And until he got hurt, his third year, was it his third year he got hurt? Up until then, he was putting up Marino and Manning numbers. So he's capable of that, obviously. Two things. And I can't remember this guy's name. He works for Fox Sports. He's a gambler. He always used to be on with Dumig on Friday afternoons.
Todd Furman.
Todd Furman last, during the offseason, he said, if you want a smart, inexpensive gamble on MVP, Jameis Winston.
Wow.
Because the payout is so huge. His fellow panelists on the show laughed at him and goes, hey, we're talking about a guy that threw for 5,000 yards. He has a career putting up numbers. And he's with Sean Payton. But you make a great point, Ira, the wide receivers. He doesn't have Mike Evans to throw to anymore.
Can that team really win 12 or 13 games? I question that.
Defensively, they've got a good defense.
I don't know. Maybe. A lot of that depends on the rest of the league and the power. I just wanted to throw that past you, Ira. And Sean Payton, I know you dropped a little Hall of Fame nugget there, Ira, or comment. And I know you're heading off to the Hall of Fame.
What's his record, my friend? You got it in front of you?
Sean Payton, 155-85. That's a 65% winning percentage. Dungy was at 2/3 of his games, which is a little better than Belichick. And
that's a strong record for Sean Payton.
Bottom line is there's very little difference in the resumes, in my opinion, of Payton and Dungy. When you look at Payton took over a woebegone franchise as well. And, you know, of course, he'll probably be coaching another 5 to 10 years.
Point,
so
I love the word woebegone. Love
he's
that.
Right there anyway. All right, Ira, look, we've had some fun. Training camp is rolling on. It's August 1st. We'll get some borderline, almost real football and a preseason game coming up. Say goodbye to everybody and mention your time when you're leaving for the Hall of Fame, if you have any expectations there, but then we'll just get out.
All right, next weekend's going to be one of my favorite times of any football season. Canton, Ohio, been there 3 or 4 times. If I make a presentation and lucky enough that guy gets in, I go to Canton. And I went for Dungy, spent my own money. And I went for Dungy.
I know, so you looked at Steve when you said that.
No, well, that was the year that the trip folded, and I had just joined the Joe Bucks fan. So, you know, I spent my own money, and I went there, and I was glad that I did. And when I come back, I'm going to have a lot of stories because, Lee, that John Lynch party, every Buck you can imagine off the championship team, they're all going to be there. I don't expect John Gruden there, but, you know, it wouldn't shock me if Tomlin took a day off from camp and flew up for the day or drove over for the day.
He's nearby.
Because he coached Lynch directly.
Yeah, he's, what, a 4-hour drive?
Yeah. So my wife's job, keep me away from Sapp. He might take a poke at me. But I'm looking forward to it. I got to say up front that you boys are helping me get up there financially. Yeah. I got to give you boys some credit. And I'm coming back with some columns and some good podcast stories from Canton. Roger Goodell, it's his favorite weekend of the football season.
You going to ask him?
He loves it.
You going to ask Roger Goodell some Bucks questions?
I think I will ask him some Bucks questions.
Yeah, it's a good column.